WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Tens of thousands of residents in Los Angeles County still not able to return to their neighborhoods after last week's deadly wildfires. Santa Ana winds are back, along with the threat of hurricane-force gusts. Fireman George Baxter is among several firefighters who lost homes in Altadena and didn't think the Eaton Fire would spread to their area.
85-mile-per-hour winds. It's just nobody stood a chance. Nobody could be prepared for it. It's just a natural disaster.
The exact cause of the Eaton Fire still under investigation. The Biden administration says a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas is getting closer as brokered talks progress. Confirmation hearings set to begin this week for President-elect Trump's key cabinet posts. And Starbucks says it's reversing its hangout policy. The new chain policy will require a person to purchase something in order to stay or use the restrooms. The company says it's working to make its stores more welcoming, that after a drop-off in customers and sales. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The man arrested and charged in the deaths of three people in New Lisbon has a $5 million bond set in the case during an appearance Friday afternoon in a Juneau County courtroom. Judge Stacey A. Smith ruled the large bond was appropriate for Virgil Thu after hearing comments from Juneau County District Attorney Kenneth Hamm. Originally charged with three counts of first-degree intentional homicide in the deaths of Elizabeth Kolba and two juvenile female ages 12 and 13, more charges were filed against Thu. They included three counts of hiding a corpse, possession of a firearm by a felon, take and drive vehicle without consent, and resisting obstructing an officer. During his comments, Hamm asked for the high cash bond after detailing what Thu did during the 12 days after the homicides and before his arrest. Hamm said that Thu admitted to law enforcement after his arrest Thursday that he tried to hide his crimes as well as try to elude law enforcement. Hamm told the court that Thu stuck to rural areas and also took a car in an effort to get away. A Juneau County Sheriff's deputy arrested Thu in Elroy early Thursday afternoon after someone called the sheriff's office to report a suspicious person. Thu returns to court on February 13th. A fight over the upcoming state budget is already looming in the legislature. Speaking to WISN's Up Front, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux says his Republican colleagues will be tossing out much of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal.
All of his policy issues that he's already talking about, we'll pull out all the policy issues right away. It's a budget. It's not a policy vision for the governor.
Lemieux says Republican leadership is planning to send along a separate tax cut bill before getting into budget proceedings, and that Republicans aren't going to honor a request to fully fund the UW system.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers season ends in Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Eagles 22-10 in the first round of the playoffs. Several Packers players on offense had to leave the game with injuries. Left guard Elgton Jenkins' arm went numb with a stinger. Romeo Doubs with another concussion. Center Josh Myers with a possible fractured leg. And what happened to receiver Jaden Reed?
I dislocated my shoulder. So I tried to go back in, but after I realized I physically couldn't. The trainers did a great job of taking me to go get an x-ray and everything.
So the Eagles advance, and they'll play the winner of tonight's game between the Vikings and the Rams. I spoke to Eagles running back Saquon Barkley.
That's football, man. They're a good team. You got to credit to them. They did some good things. They're a well-coached team. Got a lot of great players. But at the end of the day, stats don't matter. Only stats that matter is that win column.
NBA, the Bucks' three-game winning streak snapped with a 140-106 loss to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures tapping the mid-teens and winds blustery, whipping up to 30 miles per hour, creating frigid wind chills where we're really feeling sub-zero all day, and a chance of a few flurries flying around late. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again? Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the author of Building the Bucks, Jordan Tresky, and talk entertainment with Capital Times reporter Victoria Davis. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Monday to us all. Thank you for being a part and hanging out with us. You can be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. on the board, working hard for you. Harvey K., our favorite Delano Democrat. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock. It's Monday. We're making it a regular thing. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, rolling in at 5 p.m. Democracy. We still have that here, right? Isn't that a thing?
I hear that it's not, you know, in the best shape, but we do, in theory, still have it for the moment.
Well, you know, me and democracy, neither of us are in the best shape, but hopefully as time goes on, if we get past the silly season and off of the cutout frosted cookies, we'll get into better shape, me cookies. And democracy. Lots of topics to get to today here in the state of Wisconsin. Talking about weed legalization, what Republicans think about abortion. Well, we know what they think. We're going to get into some of that as well. But I want to start perhaps where we left off last week, the fires in Los Angeles.
Man,
right? And I've seen some additional footage over the weekend on the socials, and I haven't verified the veracity of any of it, but let me just say, it looks pretty real to me, and oh my God, when you have 100-mile-an-hour winds, you know, coming out and crisply burning, it's constant.
It's a fire tornado.
It never ends, and you can't spray anything, you can't get the aircraft in the air. It was just devastating to see that. Now, apparently, winds died down a bit, now they're going to come back again. Perhaps not as high as 100, but 60, 70 mile an hour gusts. That's still
no joke.
Still no joke, certainly, but perhaps more than they're used to that, more so than anything else. So, again, and unfortunately, as we talked about last week, mentioned concern that perhaps the death rate would go up. It has gone up to 24 now dead and confirmed dead. I think some more like around that number missing. So, you know, given the devastation, that's still tragic. It could be worse, and hopefully it doesn't get much worse than that. But that number we will keep an eye on. And just like any good politician, never let a disaster go to waste.
Never.
The notus.org, N-O-T-U-S.org, one of my more recent sources for news. Is it not us or notice? I guess
I think it's notice. Because notice, like you would say, POTUS.
Like POTUS.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, they not like us.
Not like us.
All right, I'm going to go with notice like POTUS. And they got a piece entitled Trump Floats California Aid Debt Ceiling Gambit with Mar-a-Lago Meeting with White House Faction. So they had a little party down at the Mar-a-Lago with the different factions of the house.
Is that the Orange House?
The Orange House. And what did they come away with? Well, they have a couple of different policy items, the SALT, you know, being able to write off your taxes and above a certain amount and things along those lines. But what did they come away with on the fire? And here's just a bit of that reporting. The California wildfires came up with Trump and lawmakers specifically discussing whether or not to tie California disaster aid to the debt ceiling. Trump encouraged the Republicans at the meeting to talk with Speaker Mike Johnson, who was not in attendance, about the idea. And today, we did hear sound of Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't great sound, so we didn't pull it and cut it. He's walking through the echoey hallways. Yeah, the clickety-clack of walking in the Capitol and talking to the guy. Essentially saying, yeah, you know, we should look at tying policy changes and things like the debt ceiling to this aid.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, gotta be some conditions.
What? Why? And it's just, it's absolute ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous on a couple of levels. Number one, you're not harming your political rivals, right? I mean, it's going to be tough enough for the local politicians and Gavin Newsom and the other folks. They got to deal with their constituents, and whether or not they messed something up or could have done something more, you know, that'll be up for those voters to decide. When Donald Trump and the mega Republicans threaten to withhold disaster aid based on whatever conditions they want, whether it's raking the forest or getting a deal on the debt ceiling, you know, throwing in things that have zero to do with helping people, helping American citizens rebuild after the disaster, it's going to affect them, those people. It's going to affect the citizens. It's not, you know, Gavin Newsom isn't going to be worried about paying the cable bill. You know what I mean? Donald Trump's going to go after him no matter what he does. Now, perhaps, as mentioned, perhaps there could be some concern from your constituents. That's for Gavin and the citizens of California to figure out. But if Donald Trump and Mike Johnson and the rest of the MAGA are going to play games with helping out and providing disaster relief, they're only hurting the voters, the citizens, man. They're only hurting those people. They're not going to hurt their political rivals in this case. It's the people that will suffer. And while Donald Trump, he puts it out there, and these guys act like, oh, this is going to be an albatross around the neck of the local politicians out there. Well, okay, but what about the people that you're actually harming? And if you try to cut a deal like that and folks don't go along with it, they want perhaps just a naked standalone deal to provide, I don't know, disaster relief, maybe, you know, put whatever the fund is, they should probably double it. You know, given the fact you had a couple of hurricanes hit the, you know, southeast part of the state, country this year, past year, and we have these fires going on, and these happens every year. It doesn't seem like these things are easing up. So whatever that budget is, maybe Congress should allocate a little more money to that. If we're gonna ignore climate change, well, then maybe we should put a little more funding into our support for the disaster that are sure to come. As we talked about last week, the experts that were quoted in the reporting, there is nothing they could have done to prevent those kinds of fires. When you have 100-mile-an-hour winds and those kind of fires burning and embers are flying all over the place, you can't jump around. Everyone's got their hose on, so there's very little pressure, even if the pot's full. You know what I'm saying? So a disaster, certainly. Could there be things? Yeah, maybe. We'll find out. Does Donald Trump have any idea? Hells to the no.
And does any of this help anyone right now?
Right now.
To say, well, you should have done that and you should have done that. It's like, okay, let's take a hard look at what happened.
Well, and isn't it?
That's what they're doing. I mean,
shouldn't the Republicans be like they normally would be after a school shooting? You know, thoughts and prayers. Now is not the time. But apparently now is the time. When you know, the flames are still burning and the ashes are still hot. They're out there trying to, you know, put their political rivals in the dirt.
Well, and I also have to say, I mean, we had two hurricanes hitting the southeast just a couple months ago. I didn't hear any Democrats saying, well, in terms of putting aid relief there, we need to attach a few conditions.
Yeah, no.
We need to, you know, make sure that, you know, a hurricane might be unavoidable, but this level of catastrophe, surely avoidable. Never heard any of that.
Never heard. And what you did hear was some Republicans, and Trump specifically, if I recall correctly, accuse the Biden administration of steering FEMA aid away from Republican counties, which wasn't happening. In fact, some of those Republican counties were so like anti-government that there was false information about what would happen if they actually accepted FEMA aid.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't the Biden administration pulling strings on who gets what and how that goes down.
Absolutely.
That should never be the case. I don't care what administration it is. I mean, FEMA and these organizations that provide these relief, it should absolutely be apolitical. This is not about politics. And if you have some policy issues, if you have some things you want done, well, you know, do that through the legislative process. You don't withhold. I mean, come on, man. You're taking hostages.
Right.
And you're doing it to citizens, not to Gavin Newsom, not to the mayor of Los Angeles. It's to those folks that are impacted by this tragedy. 855-752-4842. So as you can imagine, I'm against any strings on any aid for any of these types of crises that would happen now or in the future. I don't want Trump doing it. I want MEGA doing it. I don't think it should be done if there's a Democratic administration. That should not be done. It was not done under the Biden administration when these hurricanes hit last year. And it should not be that way. It should never happen when it comes down to disaster relief. Disaster don't give a damn who you voted for. You know what I'm saying? 855-752-4842. Matt from Madtown. Early innovator, Matt. Welcome. Happy Monday. What do you got for us?
Hey, so just not to compare death tolls, but can we all remember that in 2021 that Greg Abbott allowed 246 people to die in the cold because of a very preventable Texas grid that they could have fixed? I didn't hear a boo from Trump. And let's also focus on the fact that they know that Gavin Newsom is one of probably three that are going to run against the Republican candidate. And what they're trying to do is this is going to be his Benghazi. They are going to run this down for 4 years, and they're going to pillory Gavin Newsom in the hopes that when he finally runs in 2028, which he most likely will, that they have something as a cudgel to beat him with. Like I said, it's going to be Benghazi.
Yes.
They'll find one email about a water pressure valve not being installed, and they're going to call it like his emails this time.
Matt, it's a great observation. It's absolutely the playbook, and they'll do it regardless of whether or not there's an email or not. It's not like any of these accusations or attacks on MEGA's political enemies require any sense of honesty or truth. It might, you know, maybe there might be something there. But if there's not, it doesn't matter. Listen to the way the president-elect talked about the hurricane aid in North Carolina, specifically accusing, without evidence, without proof, without anything other than, well, other than he just wants to try to score some political points. And those are the kinds of things that you and I, all of us, need to be aware of and understand when these situations happen. Matt makes a great point. From a political standpoint, these things never, ever end. And certainly Gavin Newsom will be a rival for the Republicans and for MEGA in the future beyond the governor of California. And if you can try to, you know, put that the Benghazi albatross around their neck, Matt, absolutely they will try. And hell, if they can punish some California in any way, shape, or form, apparently they're going to try to do that as well. Tying disaster aid to what? To legislation that the president wants passed. Forcing Democrats once again to decide whether or not they want to support aid for California and tying that to a debt ceiling increase. Well, that doesn't seem very. It seems like log rolling to me. I don't think that's proper. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. What do you think? Should the Democrats fight back on this? Should disaster aid be subject to political persuasion and attachment of other items? I don't think so. Tell me what you think. 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Kelvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Kelvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Callers get priority. So let's get to it. 855-75-CIVIC. Mark from the SEC, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, as a lifelong Wisconsinite, I mean, wildfires occur in Wisconsin, you know, can occur throughout the year, but most often in the springtime when mm-hmm. the winter's gone and things are dry and things can take off and in one hell of a hurry. Fortunately, here in Wisconsin, we don't have Santa Ana winds coming in at 100 miles an hour mm-hmm. and blowing this thing outside of it. And these Republicans should remember part of their oath to the document that they take is provide for the general welfare. And I could probably say provide for the, you know, for the common defense, I mean, defense against, you know, the fires in this case, but I mean, it is their duty to actually support our fellows in other states and not put political, you know, desires ahead of actually providing for these people. I mean, and they can't do, they simply cannot do it. They're just, I mean, and these people claim to be Christians and they say, well, it's probably God has, you know, cast his judgment down upon California and the people in this area. Well, there's plenty of people of their ilk that are in this situation.
Oh, here, no doubt. Yeah.
I mean, it is just mind-boggling that even Fox News should be condemning this kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I'd like to think it's mind-boggling, Mark, and thank you for the call and for hanging out with us. But, you know, it's kind
of... Clearly, there's a lot of unboggled minds.
It's kind of par for the course, especially given Mega's attitudes here in the last several years. Thank you, 855-752-4842. A couple of you folks jumping in on the text line. Andrew from Maine, he says, new rule. Politicians cannot speak on the state of fires unless they have a working firehouse in their hand while they talk, like a conch shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come with something.
Right. Well, we had a texter on Friday who mentioned that, you know, at her workplace, her supervisor has a rule. Don't bring up a problem unless you already have a potential solution to it.
Right.
When all you have are fingers to point, you might as well put those hands to use.
Another texter from the WMDX, the 920. If California wants disaster money for LA fires, All they have to do is tell Dictator Don that his LA golfers are burnt up. Disaster problem solved. Right.
But then they'll come out with a, well, we need to get relief to this very specific this one location. Spot, right?
My Diet Coke factory is going under. Gotta make sure that's okay. 855-752-4842. So the political game plan is you know, I guess, I don't know, it's not mind-boggling, but it's certainly disappointing, and mm-hmm. and it doesn't really help the folks that are on the ground right now. But it's kind of expected from folks like, I don't know, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. Mm-hmm. We got some sound of Rojo.
Unfortunately.
Yes, thank you for Jess working hard digging this up. I hadn't even heard this one. You know, Ron used to come around quite a bit, stopped inviting him after he tried to overthrow the government. But here is some of the sound of Ron. This is on the fires, right?
Yep.
Policy changes, man. Ron thinking outside the box here. Let's see what Ron had to say.
Do you think that when the disaster aid in the Senate comes through, that Congress will put some kind of limits on it, going, we're not wasting it on your nonsense, California. We're getting it to the people who've been hurt?
We certainly should. You know, I certainly wouldn't vote for anything unless we see dramatic change in how they're going to be handling these things in the future.
Huh?
But again, these fires, the disaster, the catastrophe that these fires were, you can't prevent fires, but you can certainly prevent the catastrophe. It's about preventable. These are decisions... Californian Democrats have made year after year after year. They divert water into the ocean. They don't fill up their reservoirs. Mm-hmm. They don't clean up their forests. They don't get rid of the underbrush.
Wasn't a forest fire.
The real tinder, the real fuel for these fires. So again, it's their fault.
It's their fault. It's their fault.
It's their fault, Dom.
It's their fault. It's you folks living in California. And whether or not you're a Republican or not, maybe if you're a Republican and you didn't have a Republican governor, well, you Republicans aren't trying hard enough, because your Republican governor would have certainly have fixed this problem. Donald Trump will certainly fix this problem, right? He's going to fix everything. It's your fault. Now, I don't remember any politician saying the folks that, you know, had to endure those catastrophic hurricanes last year to say that it is their fault. I didn't hear that. Now, is it someone's responsibility where they live? Sometimes it is. You know, sometimes you got to live where you can. Is it your fault for, what is this, like accident, like getting into a car accident? Like no fault rule here? It's their fault. It's everybody's fault, man. How is Ron Johnson going to sit here and say to those folks living in California that it's their fault? It's your fault. And there's Republicans sitting there. There's millions and millions and millions of Republicans. Is it their fault or just the Democrats' fault? Ron Johnson says it's your fault that the fires were in California. It's your fault that those winds were 100 miles an hour coming down. It's your fault they couldn't get the fixed wing or the helicopter aircraft up in the air. It's your fault. And because of that, you're going to be punished for it by a guy like Ron Johnson who blames you for that. 855-752-4842. Tom from West Allis, you're up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Hey there. It's their fault. Because anyone who understands this, even basic physics, the empty fire hydrants, the only reason why they were empty is because one was using their garden hoses to water down their houses or whatever. They had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fire hydrants open. There's no way they could handle that kind of volume. And there is no country, no city in the world that had a fire system that could handle that kind of volume of water. Why are people so can't think this through? That there's reasons for this. It's not their fault. They did not, and they were saying, you know, I even heard CJ say, well, they knew a year ago there was a report on this. What were they going to do in 1 year? Look how many years it's going to take to fix this, the lead pipes here in Milwaukee, let alone try to make a fire system that could put out a fire like that. Everyone is just talking stupid about this.
Yes.
Okay, I'm off. Myself.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your passion and your point. You're absolutely right. What kind of – that's the other question. What kind of system would have prevented this? You know what I'm saying? And is that the kind of infrastructure that Donald Trump and the MAGAs are willing to put into places like Southern California, you know, where the Dems vote against them all the time? I highly doubt it. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The impact of social media on our children and adolescents is difficult to measure, and there are growing concerns about mental health risk. Sarah Young is a psychiatrist with Gunderson Health System.
We typically are finding that it depends a lot on the kind of feedback that a person is getting through social media, whether that has a positive impact on their mental health or a negative impact on their mental health. So if they are using social media to make social connections in a way that is might be difficult for them in person, that can be a very positive thing. Or finding people who understand some of the struggles that they're having or have similar interests, that can be very positive. Or if they're getting positive feedback from people, say they post some art that they did and they get lots of compliments on that, that's a big ego boost. But if they are finding that those interactions online are negative, they're not getting the attention that they were hoping for, they're getting negative attention, then we see that having a really negative impact. The other thing that we see a lot in terms of negatives from social media is that comparison of my life versus everyone else's life. And everyone's putting their shiniest picture of their life online, not the boring things or the bad things. And so when they compare their entire life and all the positives and negatives with someone's shiny vacation photos, it's really easy to think that everyone else's life is better than mine, or they're having more fun than I'm having, or they have more friends than I have, when that is often just a perception.
She adds that it isn't necessarily a crisis because it has some potential benefits, but
left unchecked, it could certainly become a crisis within individual families just based on exposure that kids might have to content or people that their parents might not approve of, or ways that kids might be sharing information that parents really need to be aware of in terms of their own mental health or their interests or other activities that they're doing.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After meeting on the set of School of Rock over 2 decades ago, two students are tying the knot. When they were just 10 years old, Angelo Massagli, also referred to as Tough Guy in the film, and Caitlin Hale, a.k.a. Blondie, met while auditioning for the Jack Black film. The child actors connected again in 2018. By then, they had both left acting behind. Massagli is a lawyer, and Hale is now an OBGYN sonographer. The paths we take. Zombie and or Cillian Murphy fans might be upset to know that the actor will not appear in the film 28 years later. There was speculation Cillian's character Jim might be in the new installment when a preview dropped with a zombie that had striking similarities to Murphy. The Oscar-winning Oppenheimer star confirmed he is not in the new film, but is open to appearing in future 28-day films. This third installment is actually the first film in a new trilogy. 28 years later opens in June of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures tapping the mid-teens and winds blustery, whipping up to 30 miles per hour, creating frigid wind chills where we're really feeling sub-zero all day. And a chance of a few flurries flying around late. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be in with a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. What's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Stick around next hour. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Look forward to catching up on Harvey's, which we do every Monday at 5 o'clock. So stick around for that as well. And be a part, 855-75-CIVIC. Turning our attention to Wisconsin. And no, we're not talking about the Packers. That was a terrible game. I mean, what a way to start out. It was just, did you watch the game?
Part of it.
I mean, first play, turnovers. Like, I mean, talk about.
That's a bad omen.
The harbinger of things to come. It was not great. But it has now been established. I believe Washington will be playing my beloved Lions next time. And I've been making the joke with my friends. And if you're a Lions fan, you know they have never won the Super Bowl. I haven't won a world championship in football since like 1957.
Wow.
And I've been saying, you know, I'm used to the Lions not playing in the first round of the playoffs. Uh-huh. But not because they get a bye, because they just never make it. So this is a weird spot for us Lions fans to be in. So I know you folks, if you listen, you know, root for the Lions. Minnesota's playing tonight and root for the Lions next week. 855-752-4842. Rooting for, well, not the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. Molly Beck reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A Senate leader signals 14-week abortion ban if Wisconsin Supreme Court upholds access. They just can't let it go.
They can't.
Cannot let it go.
I thought we weren't supposed to be even thinking about abortion anymore now that Trump's been elected.
Yeah, you're not going to think about it anymore.
It's
all fine. It's all good. A little bit from the reporting, Republican lawmakers who control the legislature could pursue legislation that would bar women from seeking abortions after 14 weeks of pregnancy if the Supreme Court preserves access as part of a lawsuit before the high court. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, in an appearance on WISN-TV's Upfront Politics talk show, said that if the state Supreme Court liberal majority rules abortion is legal in the state without restrictions, or if they uphold the state's previous law that bars abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, his caucus could pursue a new abortion law. Because he got nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have, you know, pressing needs for our schools to be funded. We don't have infrastructure needs.
No. It's about white men telling women what to do with their bodies.
Right. That playbook hasn't gotten old.
No, not at all. Let me tell you more. Here's what LeMahieu said. If they make abortion legal at full term, or if they keep it at the 20-week restriction, we could try to 14 weeks. At that point, we'll try to build consensus to see where our caucus is and where the assembly is at. Now, LeMahieu did not schedule a vote on a previous proposal to bar abortions after 14 weeks of pregnancy that was put forward by the assembly leaders and passed last year. Now, with voters' approval, the legislation would have banned abortions 14 weeks after probable fertilization, quote unquote, except in situations where the mother's life or the health would be endangered without the procedure, a measure that would reduce the time frame for legal abortions in Wisconsin by 6 weeks. Now, the bill did not initially include exceptions for pregnancies resulting from rape or incest, but the bill's authors amended it before voting to add those exceptions following public criticism.
Oh, just a little afterthought.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your...
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that. You're an afterthought.
Literally.
Yeah. Rape, incest, afterthought.
Afterthought.
Oh, wait. People got a problem with that?
Mm.
I guess we should stick it in there then. Amendments to the bill would also require doctors to make reasonable efforts to preserve the life of the fetus during medical emergencies.
They already do that.
Now they're going to really, really, really do it. They're going to really, really.
No, what this is going to do is impose further restrictions and cause delays when a pregnant person comes in for emergency health care needs, and their provider then has to go through additional steps to certify that no, they are not making any unnecessary risks towards the unborn child, which they were already not going to do.
You know, when you put it like that, it makes it sound really bad.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more here from the reported. And Wisconsin Republicans have struggled. It was not just Wisconsin Republicans, the Republican Party in general, have struggled to combat the political effects of the 2022 U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade, which effectively put back into place a law that had been interpreted for more than a century to ban all abortions, except when the mother would die without one. Abortion has become a central issue in races in Wisconsin since, certainly has. Now, several Assembly Republicans who voted for the bill in 2024 said they were conflicted, noting that while they are completely opposed to abortion, many of their constituents believe it should be legal in some form. Well, what do you do? What do you do? Now, here's the numbers. In October, 63% of voters polled by the Marquette University Law School said abortion should be legal in all or most cases. 63%, while 37% said it should be illegal in all or most cases. So 63-37. A November 2022 poll found that 84% of voters support allowing abortions in cases of pregnancy resulting from rape or incest. So 63%. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
a pretty substantial.
That's a significant majority. Above 50%. Yeah. Yeah. And 37%. No, not enough. So mm-hmm. we've had this discussion about using, you know, ballot amendments, mm-hmm. referendums to get bills passed. And as it stands right now in the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers wants to offer that to the citizens. Mm, well,
a little bit more democracy.
Well, we should. Of course, we should have it. Well, why can't the citizens of the state, you know, put something, you know, get the petitions together, get the signatures, get something on the ballot. If mm-hmm. the people vote for it, then it's a law. Period. Yeah. Why is that such a threat? Why is democracy, expanded democracy, and it's not like something has never happened. Lots of states have a mm-hmm. binding referendum, the ability for folks to put it on, citizens to put a referendum on the ballot and make it become law. Why not? Well, because, of course, a lot of those issues, the Republicans, they lose on. They don't want it. Right. They don't want, even though they know 63% of those folks polled the Marquette University Law School poll last year said they want this to be legal. Mm-hmm. Even though they know that is a majority of people. They want to use their majority in the legislature to support and pursue a minority position against the will of the people.
Indeed. And we should note that is a majority in the legislature for now. And that is a much narrower majority than they had in the last session.
Yes. Lemmy Hughes said that he believes the court, which is controlled by liberals in a 4-3, is slow playing the case in an effort to use the issue in the April 1st election that will decide the control of the court. As we've talked about at length, Dane County Circuit Court Susan Crawford and Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel are vying to replace liberal Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, who retires from the court this year. So they're playing from behind on this issue, but they have the majority in the House and in the Senate, but they mm-hmm. do not have the governor's desk. So good luck with all that. Mm-hmm. Another one. Now, while we're talking about that, let's throw this one out there. Also from Molly Beck. Wisconsin marijuana legalization faces familiar headwinds in new legislative session. And again, the same kind of thing. There is a majority of folks who are down mm-hmm. with
legalized. And this is a pretty big majority.
And again, LeMahieu on the Sunday interview, he said his caucus would be open to considering legislation this session from the state assembly to create a medical marijuana program in Wisconsin if assembly leaders removed their previously proposed idea of establishing state-run dispensaries.
Yeah, that's from Voss. We need state-run dispensaries.
Small government state-run dispensaries. Well, you know what? There's a lot of money in weed. Man, yeah. Who would have thought there's money in drugs? Just ask the tobacco and alcohol industries. But apparently they have all decided we have too many mm-hmm. vices, so they're good with two. Two, that's all you get. You get smoking and you get drinking.
You get some smoking.
We have decided what you can and cannot do, Robin Voss and LeMahieu. Mm-hmm. You can smoke. You can drink. Don't smoke, don't drink. What do you do? You can't smoke any weed. No, can't have that. Too many vices. It's just so stupid. The Senate leader's position is a starting point for renewed negotiations on the issue of legalizing marijuana use for medicinal purposes has run into roadblocks in previous sessions, largely due to Senate Republicans' opposition to the idea. Here's what LeMahieu from Oostburg said. There are members of our caucus who are supportive of medical marijuana. The challenge of the bill and the assembly introduced last session was state-run dispensaries. Growing the size of government doesn't seem to be the best way to do it. Now, Wisconsin is among a shrinking minority of states. Shrinking minority of states. We are surrounded by legal weed.
On all sides.
On all sides. And we're giving away. I mean, you go to Detroit, load up. It's cheaper in Detroit and Michigan. Illinois's got it. You know, Minnesota's got it. We got legal weed all around us.
Yeah. We're given tens of millions of dollars.
Millions. I mean, just go to any of these dispensaries across the state line. There's lots of Wisconsin plates. Wisconsin among a shrinking minority of states who do not have recreational or medical use marijuana programs. About half the states have legalized small amounts of marijuana for recreational use, including Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan, as mentioned. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer said this: "I really hope that we see some real interest from our Republican colleagues in working on this issue. We know that both medical and recreational marijuana legalization are very popular. And once again, let's go to the Marquette University Law School poll. Recently asked about the topic in January last year and found a familiar percentage, 63%. Was that the same number of
that
folks
was.
That wanted? Yeah, 63% said abortion should be legal in all or most cases. And also 63% support legalizing marijuana. Now, that's straight up recreational marijuana.
It gets much higher, no pun intended, when you look at the percentage of people who want at least medicinal.
86%.
86.
That includes lots of Republicans.
Lots.
Come on. I mean, you have 86 that want at least medicinal. 86. And again, another 63%. Now, if we had the ability as citizens to put a referendum on the ballot and have it actually go into effect, we would have abortion without question and, you know, without challenges from the Republicans in this case. And we would have, presumably, not only guaranteed we'd have medicinal marijuana.
Absolutely.
But we presumably have 63% of respondents.
63%?
Yeah, you're going to get
Come
that.
On,
people,
man.
I mean, because at the end of the day, it's not like this is something new that's going to impact. You know what? All this is doing is legalizing the use that we already have. This is already happening. What's the downside from a state perspective? Well, you're kicking all the tax dollars to Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota.
Yeah.
Why are you giving it away?
Let's keep that here.
Let's keep it here. Let's do it here, man. This is Wisconsin. We got some agriculture in the state, right?
Absolutely.
Aren't we known for kind of some of that stuff? I think we're pretty good at those things. And give me a break. I mean, with all the hemp stuff, the Delta thing.
You
refine the hell out of the legal hemp and you get enough product that you can sell at a gas station on pretty much unregulated. But it's not as controlled as the markets are for regular THC as in these other states. I mean, and they have it down, man. When I go to Metro Detroit to visit family and hang out, you go into these dispensaries, they're like a Starbucks. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. People are friendly. The products
are
tested.
Kiosks.
They got kiosks, man. Yeah. They buzz in, buzz out. They check your ID. You do the whole thing. And what do they do? What does regulation do? And I'm down for the regulation. I'll pay a little bit more so I don't have mold in my weed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't have pesticides. I'm smoking pesticides in my weed. This is the thing. Now, when you go black market, think of the old days back when they in Prohibition, when alcohol, bathtub gin, people were dying because people were mixing up whatever.
Alcohol.
Right. Come on. Wisconsin Republicans.
We can do better.
You are in the minority. 63% of people want abortion legal in most or all cases. 63% of Wisconsinites want legalized recreational marijuana. And 86%, that includes a lot of those Republicans, want medicinal weed. And if you can't get it done, then maybe the reason that people want to have referendums, you know, promoted and pushed out by the citizens is because you folks, you don't listen. But we listen. 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all. In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again? Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
People say that I'm a bad influence. I say the world's a rape. I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers suicidal. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Not a bad influence, just not a role model. 855-752-4842. Ah, come on, we can. 855-75. So thank you for sticking around and hanging out with us. Make sure you stay at the top of the hour. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay, going to join me for the 5 o'clock hour. Always love it when Harvey comes around. Lots to talk about on the national level as well. Talking about the weed here in Wisconsin, there's a little bit more on this than some of you texters are cracking me up. Sherry from Horicon, can't drink, can't smoke, la, la, la. Is it a song? Yeah, don't drink, don't smoke, what do you do? Like Stray Cats, I think it was. Maybe, and this is before your time, Jeff, so I have to look that one up. Bill from Green Bay, he says, you know, a couple of friends and I went to Menominee, Michigan, just across the border from Green Bay, to visit, quote-unquote, a dispensary. And there were two lines of cars about a half a mile long each.
Damn.
Waited over an hour in line, and every single plate was a Wisconsin plate. So many lost tax dollars.
Yeah, man.
No, they're not lost, man. They're just going to Michigan and Illinois. They know exactly where they are.
Oh, yeah.
They're in their coffers. Andrew says, has anyone tried selling it to Robin Voss in the form of a THC-infused spotted cow? Hmm. You know, it's just, it's so hypocritical. For, you know, and now the Surgeon General has come out and recommending Congress or, you know, to act and say, hey, you know, there, you know, cancer risk for alcohol. And mm-hmm. while the politicians are, oh, nanny state and poo-pooing and all that. And, you know, that aside, there are certainly risks to alcohol. And they're a lot higher than the risks to from the use of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Well, especially
full
if,
stop.
Especially if you're having like edible THC rather than smoking it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, man,
for real, right? Totally different. And so you cannot, as a Republican or those folks, even if you're whatever your political persuasion is, if you're okay and you're totally down with legalized beer and spirit sales, which mm-hmm. I am and most people are, whatever, do what you want, people. But how can you be against the sale of cannabis? Real. I mean,
it's the devil's lettuce, Tom.
Yes, of course it is.
It might make you happier. Don't chill.
We don't want that. God. We can't have that. Also, the regulations Tom from New Berlin points out, no stems and seeds. You know, the
pre-sifted.
The terrible stuff that we used to get in college. Let me just put it that way. I mean, this stuff was like brick weed. It was.
Oh, no.
I mean, like a pound would be like this, you know, like 4 inches just compressed at the bottom of a bag. Geez. It was just out of hand. And it was so stemmy.
Dusty.
And so weedy and nasty.
Dusty, skunky.
But when you're hard up, you buy anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And now it's good. It's quality. Mm-hmm. It's again, it's regulated. You know what's in it. They test it. There's a whole industry around it. And let me tell you something. The industry's always been there. It's going to be there whether or not Wisconsin decides to legalize it. It's always been there. It's always going to be there. As mentioned from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 86% said they think medical marijuana should be legal. A 2023 state analysis estimated Illinois collected $36 million in tax revenue from Wisconsin residents purchasing marijuana in the land of Lincoln, mm-hmm. where cannabis is legal.
That's just Illinois.
That's just Illinois. I gotta imagine it'd be higher than that. Now, mm-hmm. Evers has included in three state budgets proposal to legalize marijuana in Wisconsin, but Republican buzzkill lawmakers who control the state legislature have rejected the idea during the budget writing process. LeMahieu on Sunday said lawmakers would do the same while crafting their budget, removing all policy from the budget proposal Evers gives them. Well, policy is tax, man. There's millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Voss in December said he still prefers a medical marijuana model with state-run instead of private dispensaries in order to avoid recreational marijuana in Wisconsin. Well, good luck with that. Here's what he said, Voss. A red line for us is that we do not want, like it has in almost every other state, medical marijuana to lead to recreational marijuana. I think there's a legal compassionate purpose for medicinal. I don't really see any reason for recreational. Well, and here's the thing about my freedom, Robin Voss. I don't give a damn whether you think there's a reason for it or not. Who are you to dictate to me that I cannot consume this product that is legal in many other states and is much safer than alcohol, sir? What gives you the right to limit my freedom, sir?
I can't see any reason.
Doesn't matter whether you see it or not, man. That's my decision to make. Just like gay marriage, just like abortion. You don't want it, don't do it. Don't force your stuff on me. Joe from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
I love your passion on this subject. It's really well-deserved. This is money that we're losing, and it's ridiculous.
Yep.
Getting back to money on another area, yeah. I would like to return to our esteemed Senator Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, let us remember the last time there was an effort to try to cut Social Security, Ron Johnson was right in there with his brilliant plan, that every year Congress would vote on how much of your Social Security check you
yeah.
get.
Yeah.
It might be half of it. It might be a quarter. Ron would decide, because he's so brilliant with these things. I would point out, while he's, you know, moaning and complaining about California, that we still have North Carolina, $53 billion in damages from Hurricane Helene. So shall we all just say, gee, North Carolina, why don't you get your act together and do a little pre-planning? I mean, so what if your highways caved in? How come you didn't plan for that, for God's sake? So I think Harvey K might be a person to talk about this a little bit, Dom, which is, are we all in this together or not? I mean, isn't that part of what, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, out of the New Deal came this idea of, can we on a national level all work together for our common needs? And obviously, fires in California, flooding in North Carolina, they're all affect us and thus needs to be driven by a national look at this. So I'd be curious to hear what he had to say.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you for teeing it up. Harvey K is coming up next. He will respond. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joins us next. Stick around.
People say that I'm a bad influence. I say the world's already full. I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers, suicidal. Come on, suicidal. Go ahead, get mad and do it. Just do it.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Williams will be here to talk about what to expect from the Trump administration with the inauguration less than a week away.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates.
You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Santa Ana winds are back in Los Angeles County with red flag warnings posted. Crews are still battling last week's wildfires, now blamed for at least 24 deaths. L.A. District Attorney Nathan Hochman announcing charges against a group of people he said arrested for looting and other crimes.
These are the people who are seeking to exploit this tragedy for their own benefit. These are people who have engaged in looting. Arson.
A dusk to dawn curfew remains in effect. Preparations are underway for next week's inauguration of President-elect Trump. Authorities say there is heightened threat environment, but no credible threats. A Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal could be closer than ever between Israel and Hamas. The Biden administration says talks are progressing. In South Africa, at least 100 men mining illegally in an abandoned gold mine have died of suspected starvation and dehydration. The men were trapped deep underground for months. This is ABC News.